Off the ball, rugby.
Obviously, when you're training and playing with Robbie Henshaw, Gary Ringrose, Gibson Park inside you, all that kind of stuff, he's going to see the level that they're at. And
join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own. He gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line, try from Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78, a Munster podcast for Munster fans. Coming up on this week's show, we look back on the win over Ulster that guaranteed Munster top spot in the URC, and we look ahead to the quarterfinal with the Ospreys. Plenty more besides as well. All that and more on the Red 78, joined as always by Munster legends Fiona Hayes and Alan Quinlan. Guys, how are you?
Good, Rory. Very good. Good win at the weekend, and I was up in Thomond Park, so set me up nicely for the week ahead. Heading back to work.
Certainly did. Quinny, how are you, boy?
Very good, thanks. Yeah. Looking forward to a bit of some knockout rugby now. Once they're finishing top, they made a little bit of hard work out of it, I think. I would say, fair to say. But got there in the end. Look, the incredible run continues. Nine wins in the bounce and 8 bonus point wins. So it's been a phenomenal run. We'll get into it in a few minutes, but the injuries are a concern and a worry, of course, again. But credit to Ulster, they certainly caused Munster a lot of problems at the weekend. But look, 3 weekends now, 1 last push, hopefully 3 weekends, and try and get Munster to a final anyway, at least.
We'll keep the fingers crossed as well. Today is episode 100 of the Red 78. So Mr. Alan Quinlan becomes a Red 78 centurion. Congratulations indeed to you, sir.
Thanks very much. It's a big moment in my career.
It's probably bigger than winning over 200 caps a month, I'd say, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
And here's to another 100 after this as well. All right, plenty to discuss on the show as well today. But as we were mentioning, plenty of comments coming into the show as well after that win over Ulster, Fiona.
Yeah, good few coming in. So thanks to everyone again for sending them in. I'll read out as many as I can, but we do read what you guys are sending in. Pat is a regular. I think Pat had the bench last week was huge for us. Blew Ulster out of the water and started winning scrum penalties. Injuries a pity for us, but I do think we will have enough in hand to turn Ospreys over at home. We should be fine if we win when the semi be. He's off to Mauritius in the morning for himself. So good man, Pat. It's 4 weeks on the trot, isn't it? There's no break, yeah.
Rattling it off.
So the semi will be the following week. It's obviously probably Saturday, depending, yeah. I suppose, on that. Eugene wrote in, injuries piling up, but some of the lads like O'Brien have really made their mark. And those two wingers, a team on a serious upward curve, and young players with the old dog Munster to go all the way, you got 50 at 7-1. He's thrown a few bob on your dead right. So 7-1, I thought you get better odds than that. You should have got it at the start of the season, I think. Keith says, Tom Hurd is a big loss. The power coming off the bench has helped a lot in the last few games, and he's been playing brilliantly. Got it for him, and he'll possibly miss the emerging Irish tour as well. Richard Daly had too much impact at the moment. Okay, he's saying basically he hasn't had too much impact from the bench. He reckons he should play from the start. What do you make on that, Quinny? Hadnick coming off the bench, do you think he should start?
Yeah, well, he was out injured for a couple of weeks, so since the South African trip. So, I think the logic of keeping him on the bench and kind of easing him back in and then starting him this week would make sense. I think he's a wonderful player. Again, you know, they've gone with a model of trying to have that impact off the bench and have real quality coming off the bench. And we saw the impact they made last weekend and what they've done the last few weeks. So I just get a feeling, my own gut feeling on this is pick your best team now. It's knockout rugby. There's one last push. But, you know, either way, Alex Kendallen has done well. I think he was quiet the other day. He works his socks off, but you know, it depends how John Hodnett has done in training, if he's got back up to match fitness and all that kind of stuff. It's a good complaint to have, particularly to have forwards coming off the bench like that, making an impact. And particularly the front row, you saw John Ryan and Ollie Yeager, what they did as well. So it's worked really well. I'm not suggesting that they change that and pack everyone onto the team. And I think psychologically it's worked, and it does work for players. And even last Saturday, you know, you had five fellas coming on at one go, and you could sense the crowd getting excited by that as well. And it worked.
Yeah. And then the last one is from Joe. With Sean O'Brien playing well, Anton back, and Nank hopefully not far off, we should be okay at centre. Worrying situation at 10 with only Jack and the inexperienced Tony Butler. Can't take anything for granted this Friday against an Osprey side that are fighting for each other. On that, Quinny as well, would you see them bringing Tony Butler into the if they're going a 6-2 split? Or I suppose who would you be looking at? Murray stepping into 10 if something happened Crowley early on in the game? Like, what would you be looking at there yourself?
I don't know, to be honest. I think it's a big risk going without another specialised 10. I think you would have had the option of Rory Scannell, who's played before, if he was fit, having him on the bench and him stepping into 10. But I think you have to bring another 10 involved and have another 10 involved there. Conor Murray, yeah, for sure, could go in and do a job there. But if you get an injury early on in the game to Jack Crowley, let's hope it doesn't happen. You don't have another specialist 10. So, look, I would imagine that you'll... Tony Butler will be in the mix now, and it may restrict the option of going with the 6-2 split, but look, we know Conor Murray can play in multiple positions as well, so I think you have to bring a 10 and have a specialised 10 as backup to Jack Crowley now.
Yep.
Thank you very much indeed for all your comments on the show. If you want to get in touch with us for next week's show, you can tweet Quinny or Fiona at Alan Quinlan 1 or at FiHayes27, and we'll read out your comments on next week's show, hopefully talking about another Munster win. As we were saying, Fiona Hayes, maybe Munster not at their best on Friday night, made a little bit of hard work against Ulster, but as Munster have been doing, they've just been winning and winning and winning, and winning is a habit that Munster obviously have at the moment.
Yeah, and that's brilliant to see. I have to say, Quinny might disagree with me. I'm sitting in the crowd. There was a lot of frustration at halftime. I went up with my dad to the game, and he's always shouting and roaring. Sometimes I have to hide my face when I'm up in Thomond Park because of his carry on. But he was, I suppose, roaring and shouting at all the errors. He loves giving Frank Murphy and all the bad time as well. So I had to quiet him down. But I just felt like with the bench that was there, that you knew when those changes were coming hard and fast, that they knew from half time. I would imagine they got some talking to just error wise, ruck time. I thought they were a lot slower, how they resourced the ruck, a little bit lethargic at times, but I always felt, and yes, they were lucky to come away with the win, but there was some beautiful rugby played at times as well. And I always felt like what we have coming off the bench at the minute can get on, be quite dominant. And teams have been ground down, I suppose, that 40, 50 minute mark. And Yeager, John Ryan, even Owen Clark when he came in, those guys were just superb at scrum time as well. And I think Munster... from early on in the season or in the URC standings around scrum time and scrum dominance, I think they're after jumping up to joint third, and we wouldn't have expected to see that, I suppose, from the penalties that we were giving away at the start of the season. So they've just been brilliant, and that impact has been huge. But certainly not the best first half of rugby, but yet that second half was absolutely exciting. And you can't take away from what Ulster did as well. They studied them. They slowed them down perfectly. I thought at ruck time, they made Munster, which was unusual. We went back in a lot. We went back in, and therefore we were missing that clean out from the inside and got caught a couple of times there. So I think it was just that partnership. And we're on here every week speaking about Crowley and how good a player is he to not have a great game, but still be able to step into that, move into that 12 place. And he controlled the game as well with Joey from there. Joey was superb when he came on, but it's just, you know, probably not the best day at the office, but yet he still was able to come out, grind out a win, and still was controlling how the game flowed. So I think just watching them. And I said it was going to be high scoring. I thought there would be a few tries, all right. And that second half for me was just superb. Really, the crowd really got behind them. And some of the Craig Casey out the back pass, there was some superb offloads in there as well. Just going forward, they're going to have to be a little bit more clinical, I think, at ruck time. But how they played, the connections, they definitely built themselves into the game.
Yeah, Quinny, Munster 17-7 down at half time. Were you concerned at that point?
Yeah, it had that feel that it was going to be one of those days. I think the biggest problem they had in the game was the amount of knock-ons and turnovers, 16 turnovers in the game. Very few in the second half. There was so many in the first half. Forcing the pass a little bit. It kind of reminded me a little bit of that Cardiff game. Back to 2 months ago in Thomond Park, the end of March, the forcing the passes a little bit, giving the opposition energy and opportunities not to build pressure, if you like. And, you know, we've seen a little bit of a few stumbles in the last few weeks. You know, it wasn't perfect in Edinburgh either, I think. But what they've shown is a lot of character and resilience, and I believe, and that comes from confidence as well. So they were sloppy. The problem you have when you get into knockout rugby is it can be a different kettle of fish, more pressure. And I know we'll get into the Ospreys in a while, but they're a dangerous side who, if you do turn over the ball like that, they'll have a real go, and they can punish you, particularly in their back line. So once we've got to protect the ball better. But, you know, we spoke in the build-up to this game last week, Rory, and we talked about, you know, the expectancy of you know, what of Ulster to play for. As it turned out, nothing on the day. Mm. They would have possibly jumped a place or two if they won the game in the table, but they were still going to be away from home. I just thought mentally... It was one of those games that's a banana skin. It's hard to get that emotional pitch right and that real kind of drive and determination to high level. And it's hard week after week. They've had a bit of a, you know, they've had an incredible run, a lot of challenging moments like the two wins in South Africa, the win in Edinburgh. It does take it out of you. And what they have shown is real character and a drive and a resilience. So it was far from perfect. And the other side of that, Ulster, you know, they've got a, you know, they look a different team under Richie Murphy. They look a little bit more relaxed and coherent and cohesive in what they're doing. Good few young players. They had their own setbacks with Stuart McCluskey not making it before the game, which kind of balancing out, because I think if Stuart McCluskey's playing there, he can cause a lot of problems for teams. He was a loss from both their starting second rows went off. Izuku was very good in the back row, superb and uncharacteristic missed tackle in midfield, and that he makes that break. And I thought when they score there, when Matty Ray scores there, I think, oh my God, it is one of those days. So they were composed, I think, and found a way to win. But I think they have to probably, and it's a 6-day turnaround. So, the mental side of it is different. You know, it's a different feel. It's not that do or die kind of have to win scenario. And that probably played out. That's the way the game played out. But if you turn the ball over, the amount of times that Munster did in that first half, forced passes, knock-ons, players dropping balls uncharacteristically, it let Ulster off the hook a lot of the time. So, but look, they got the job done in the end. And I think that was the most important thing. The relief of actually winning at the end was incredible, because, you know, you could have ended up being fourth home quarter final against the Stormers, but you're away then to you're away in a semi final and away in a final if you were to get there. Now Munster did it the hard way last year. They went away in the quarter, semis and final and won it. So this perception that maybe I've allowed myself to buy into, that it gives Munster massive advantage. It does give them an advantage if they win their knockout games, for sure, but you know, they're a perfect example of teams going away last year in the knockout stages and ultimately winning the final. So And they've got to tidy it up. I think for Munster, I would suggest that it's just a little bit of fine-tuning at this stage. And mentally, kind of, there'll be a certain amount of relief that the league is over. Now it's a different kind of change of a mindset, if you like. But they've got to be careful now because for a while they were just kind of sneakily moving up along the table there. Mm. Now everybody's talking about them and people are predicting that they're going to win it. So it's a different pressure that they've got to deal with. But massive credit to the squad and the players for getting over the line in the end and winning the game and finishing top. It's a brilliant achievement.
Yeah, certainly some positives from the game, Fiona. I mean, like, just to single out one player in particular, like, Shane Daly has played every minute of Munster's season, like, in the URC, 18 games he played every minute, scored a try again at the weekend. He's just been in red-hot form for Munster.
Yeah, he is, and I actually thought he was very unlucky not to get player of the game. Calvin was brilliant, but I thought Shane Daly, it was one of the best games I've seen him play in a long time. He was just busy watching him up in the stand in the backfield. He was really good at executing his defensive side of things, getting back in position, his handling skills, really good in the air as well. So it was, he's someone that I suppose we're talking a lot about Calvin being up at Ireland, but you know, he was up in that camp a little bit before Calvin, and you can see he's trying to push himself up there and try and get a place on that squad that's going away to South Africa. Might make it, but if he continues in the form that he is and brings that into next year, it's going to be absolutely superb. And to have two wingers in red hot form is just brilliant for this Munster squad. And it's not just out and out pace, it's their ability to tackle, their ability to defend really well. Knowing where they are in their positioning in the pitch in that back three, they seem to be working really well together with Zippo as well. So these three guys, I think, are someone that are a partnership that's working really well in the background, because I know on here we talk a lot about the centres. We have been talking about Langville Frisch. I suppose when they're not there, we're saying they're missed. But the wingers in particular, we've seen it with Ireland over the years, how they work really hard, get themselves involved in games. And both these guys are doing the same down at Munster. They're very, very busy coming in off their line looking for work. And Shane Daly in the last few games is someone that's really putting his hand up and saying to Andy Farrell, start having a look at me, you know, because he is absolutely playing cracking rugby. And at the weekend, obviously Calvin was superb, but the two of them were definitely up there for player of the game for me.
Yeah, just that back three in general, Quinny, Zeebo, Daly, Nash. I was reading on the 42.ie that Daly was kind of crediting Mike Prendergast and Mossy Lawler with, I suppose, his transformation almost this season. So Mike and Mossy deserve an awful lot of credit there as well.
Yeah, of course. Wingers primarily run with the ball and they score tries, you know, they're like a striker in soccer. So I think both players weren't getting a lot of ball under the previous regime. There was a lot more kicking and a lot of kick chase for both wingers. Now the game plan is completely transformed, and we saw that regularly last year. And both wingers are so important to the team. I think Calvin Nash probably has more pace than Shane. I mean that respectfully, but he's got a lot of gas, Calvin Nash. But Shane Daly's just such a solid footballer. He has big impact moments all the time, makes his tackles, wins the ball in the air, puts pressure on the opposition. He's a great link player, knows when to pass. So I think he's got to a point where he's so dependable and he's so involved in games and in big moments and scores tries as well, of course. He still has pace and they're just so important to the team, both of them, and they've been transformed under the current coaching ticket. And Prendy last year obviously changed the way Munster played from an attack point of view and upskilled so many players who I thought, you know, were one dimensional, if you like. And I think he's such an important player, and he'd be, you know, there's a lot of good wingers playing for Ireland and back three players, but Shane Daly isn't a million miles away from that. And we saw Calvin Nash getting involved in the Six Nations and looking comfortable at that level. So their improvement has been really dramatic and really important, I think, But it's down to look, it's you can put out the stats every week. Munster had 18 offloads in the game the other day. Of course, some of them are a little bit forced, but that's the mentality, and it is, and it's right across the board. There's a little tip on passes from the forwards. Their lines of running are so much better. And sometimes even if you know what they're doing, it's still hard to defend it.
Right.
They were one or two passes away on last Saturday again from really punishing Ulster. It broke down in the end. So they only kicked the ball 20 times in the game. Again, it's an indication, fine day, dry weather, that's the way they want to play. We spoke about the contrast of sometimes actually having to put it up the sleeve, up the jumper, and, you know, maul and be direct. And I think that's what the forwards have given this team in the last period of time on this really good run, that they've got a maul going again. Their scrum is much better. And again, it's down to players coming back as well and having a bit of physicality. But the wingers have been incredibly important. And they're really good footballers, I think, and they're confident and having lots of big moments in games.
And just on that, Quinny, as well, do you think at half time there was chat from the management around being more direct? Because I thought, you know, in that first half, yes, they were throwing the ball around, but with, I suppose, as you said, the second rows coming, gone off the start and second rows, there was space on the inside. I didn't feel like in that first half that Munster really went after. Do you think they probably were told in the second half be a little bit more direct than they were?
Yeah, try and get some territory. Well, Munster had 46% territory in the game, so that tells a story. And if you're not getting into the opposition kind of scoring zone or half, it's more difficult. So I think I looked back to South Africa and the intelligent kicking and territorial game that they played. They didn't overplay in their own half. Why? Because you don't want to force turnovers, give away penalties. The altitude in South Africa, you can kick it much longer, so you can be punished. So they were more pragmatic in taking their penalties, getting the scoreboard taken over. And, you know, I go back to that Cardiff game again, which is a really frustrating one. I think overplayed at times in that game, that league game, a few months ago.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to the full episode where we name our star of the week and we look ahead to the URC quarterfinal between Munster and the Ospreys, become an Off the Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off the Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.